let's get back to Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com. Once again, here are Jim and Randall.
Welcome back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And we hope you enjoy our Professor Stanley Staccato with the orchestra. He's doing some really good stuff.
Wonderful.
He's changed his whole music routine
since
we've come
to
talk to him.
With his left hand.
Is that it?
He changed baton hand.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice. That was subtle. You picked that right up, huh?
Right off.
Well, you're closer to the orchestra than I am.
That's right.
In fact, if you're not careful, that tuba's going to suck that wig right off your head.
Okay. The reason he had to change baton hands is because his nose has started bleeding from the other nostril. So what can I tell you?
Oh, man, that's close. Well, we are packed in here. But we are, ladies and gentlemen, the only international radio program in the world with our own orchestra and our own orchestra leader, the illustrious Stanley Staccato. Professor
right.
Stanley Staccato. Okay? And he's a proctologist. And you don't usually get that combination.
No, you don't.
Sometimes he doesn't know if he's going or coming, but he's on this show every Monday. He leaves his patients hanging.
Right.
He says, sorry, I've seen enough for today.
Right.
I have definitely seen enough for today.
He said, listen, from my point of view, as a proctologist, he said,
from my
point of view, this show doesn't look too good.
And you ought to know. Well, all right. Well, let's take we got to talk about the Supreme Court here. We've got two little cases before we go to our little segment on the arrogance, folks. You did this already. Supreme Court this week will consider, this is very interesting, the death penalty case of it's Troy Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
this is a very interesting case.
Very interesting case. Mr. Davis was convicted of killing a policeman.
A police officer.
I think it's down in North Carolina. In Georgia, excuse me.
In Georgia. You know, we used to hunt in Georgia.
I know Georgia.
Did you know that? We used to go hunting. Our engineer doesn't know this. Randy doesn't know this. We used to hunt elephant in Georgia. Actually, Alabama. I'm wrong. In Alabama.
Because we used to hunt Russians in Georgia. That's the latest one. But
that's right. But we used to hunt elephant in Alabama because in Alabama, the Tuscaloosa. Sorry, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help myself.
Are we still on the air, folks?
I don't think so. Go ahead.
What happened about this
case?
This raises a good point. First of all, he denies he shot the policeman because it was a ruckus. He actually went in to try to break up a fight. Policeman was off duty. Nobody knows what happened, apparently. But, years ago, this was back in 2001.
Uh-huh.
I think the crime was committed then, and that was the time soon after that he was convicted. And now since then, after he was charged with a police officer and so forth, 7 of the 9 non-police witnesses have recanted their testimony.
No, that doesn't sound good.
No, alleging that police coercion and intimidation, police coercion and intimidation in obtaining their testimony. Now, the United States Supreme Court is going to consider this case on Monday. That is to say, it's going to consider whether it will take the case.
Okay, that's what they mean by they say consider
right. And if it decides not to, he'll be executed.
Uh-oh.
In the meantime, the execution was scheduled for a date before next Monday, so the Supreme Court issued a stay of execution. So once again, he's one of those many, many people on borrowed time, waiting for the results of his this appeal or of this petition to have the Supreme Court consider whether, in fact, with all of this chain stuff, he's been deprived of due process of law. And that's what that's how you get into the United States Supreme Court. You must raise a federal constitutional issue
exactly.
Or a federal issue of some kind. You can't just jump from a state court into the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, we have certain rights, and due process of law through the 14th Amendment has applied the 5th Amendment, which is, I am getting complicated.
You're getting a little complicated in all the states.
But anyway.
Okay.
Several people have spoken on behalf of the benefit of the doubt here.
This is
the main thing.
Right.
You can only convict a person if he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. That's
mm-hmm.
the charge of the jury, and I can tell you with a certain degree of certainty that that's the case all over the United States.
Right.
Reasonable doubt. And it's not a question of whether he's innocent, it's a question of whether the state or the prosecution has proved its case, has the burden of proving its case, and has proved its case beyond a reasonable doubt. Well, with 7 of 9 witnesses recanting their testimony, telling them that it was coerced testimony and this and that, my question is, doesn't that raise a reasonable doubt?
It certainly does to me.
Now, the question, because the other question is, where was the reasonable doubt in the original trial? However, if the trial is based on false testimony,
mm-hmm.
and if the person was convicted on the basis of what can be, what becomes manifestly false testimony, then we have a situation in which that should be examined. And if the testimony was considered false, he should get a new trial,
okay.
wherein they can adduce and produce and proffer testimony. And if it does not prove his guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, then he should be acquitted. In the meantime, the question is he entitled to a new trial? And that's what the United States Supreme Court is going to decide. They're going to decide whether there's enough here to entitle this gentleman to a new trial, because he may have been convicted on evidence that did not prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, because the witnesses are now recanting.
Okay. And there you have it.
It's an important thing, because this death penalty stuff is getting pushed around pretty good from day to day.
All right. Well, let's see what we got next here. All right.
Okay.
What we have next is Erin Brockovich. Remember her, famous woman?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Made a movie about her, about pollution, water
right.
pollution.
Julie
Roberts played her part. That's correct.
Right.
She signs on with a New York City law firm.
Right.
As what?
Amazing. She came from California. Wasn't she in California at the time? I think so. And now she's going to sign on with a New York City law firm, Weitz and Luxembourg. I think it's Harvey Weitz. He's
mm-hmm.
a very, very well-known plaintiff's trial lawyer.
Okay.
And she... there's always been doubt about her motives.
Okay.
Whether she was looking to become, you know, a big international character and make a lot of money, or indeed whether she was really interested in the situation which motivated her to bring this action originally, which was some kind of groundwater pollution as a result of, I think, Pacific Gas and Electric Companies polluting the water. At any rate, we're going to find out. But in the meantime, she's gotten a lot of mileage out of that.
She sure has.
And she's now going to be a consultant
yep.
for this law firm.
That sounds good.
And I don't know. I think she was a legal secretary originally.
Could be.
Going to see what's going to happen.
Well, you know what they say about consultants? They've done it once, and they're from out of town.
You're right.
That's how it works. Anyway, are you ready? Because it's time for Arrogance of the Rich and Famous. All right, what do we got here for Arrogance this week? Well, let's start off with the trial.
Are you going to ask the question and answer it?
No, I'm going to give you the headline.
I'm
going to give you the headline. Okay. Don't get so anxious.
Don't get so testy.
Okay, testy. All right. This week the trial of Senator Ted Stevens has started up.
Wonderful.
And
person.
But you're going to tell us a little bit about the background of this, but I have he said he didn't know about the crime. So he's pleading ignorance of the crime.
Right. His trial is being conducted right now in Washington, but he's a senator from Alaska, the same state from which Sarah Palin,
mm-hmm.
who was a Republican candidate for vice president, is from. Anyway, this fellow Ted Stevens, who has been in the Senate since they founded the Senate, I think. The first president he had, I think, was Buchanan.
Could be.
But anyway, he's been around, I can't tell you how many terms, but he's over 40 years in the Senate.
Wow.
And he's a kind of a grouch.
Kind of a curmudgeon.
Well, he's a grouch, yeah. I'm not a curmudgeon. I'm a curmudgeon. He's a grouch.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I misdefined it. I should have known better.
Well, I don't know. I'm a curmudgeon. Maybe he's Lutheran. He could be Episcopalian.
You never know.
But anyway.
So what's the dealer? Could he get away with this?
And what he's saying in his defense.
Yes.
Well, let me go back a minute. He is accused of accepting $250,000 worth of gifts,
okay.
If you will.
Yeah, special gifts.
From a company that does oil business in, I'm trying to think of the name of the company. Veco company, V-E-C-O, all capitals, corporation.
In Alaska?
Which is an Alaskan oil pipeline company. And, of course, Alaska is loaded with oil pipelines. But anyway, that's the company that has provided him with certain gifts. He says, I don't know about it. I didn't know. And the $250,000, or a lot of it, went into improvements into his home.
Oh.
Into his Alaska home.
So he didn't notice the improvements.
And he didn't notice the improvements, which consisted of a new roof, a new staircase of steel, a balcony.
He didn't notice that when he went out on the balcony, he didn't fall down?
No, he did. He thought, he said, my goodness, I'm standing on something that just grew.
It just came
here. It just came out of the
ground. Maybe his wife pays the bills.
Well, they upgraded the electrical system. They put a balcony, a steel staircase with custom railings, a new roof, and more. And
okay.
He says that authorities are saying, those who will prosecute him, of course, are saying that the sheer volume of the work would certainly indicate he had to know about it. There's an old expression, you know or should have known, you knew or should have known.
Right.
I mean, he's a man who serves in the Senate. Is he going to tell me he can't? Well, hold on.
He doesn't realize he was paying for
them.
Right.
A lot of people in the Congress can't read and can't. They don't know their numbers.
But they
don't know their numbers. He didn't get the flashcards when he was a kid in school where they held it up. One and one is two. Two and two is four.
Hey, don't knock those flashcards. They
worked. They did work. But he wasn't. See, in his school in Alaska, it was too cold to hold them up. And the teacher had
a school of hard knocks.
Fingers were cold.
That's right.
She couldn't get the
flashcards. They wore gloves.
But at any rate,
I
think it's a little bit, in my own opinion, a little incredible that he didn't know what was going on.
Well, let me give you an example of a conversation
but
that we picked up.
The jury has to decide whether he knew or not.
That's right.
That's going to be what's going to decide.
Well, here's a conversation that he had with one of his best friends. It gives you a little question about what cognitive capabilities.
Well,
here it is.
We have who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
That's
him. I want you to tell me the names of the fellows on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
You know the fellow's name?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yeah.
I mean, the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The fellow playing first base for St. Louis.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Well, what are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first base.
Who is on first?
Have you got a first baseman on first?
Certainly.
Then who's playing first?
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just interrupted this broadcast to bring you a debate from the United States Senate on
a flash,
the $700 billion bailout bill. There
my
they were.
God, that was, I mean, that's, so if you have that kind of a conversation, you could get screwed up.
That's right.
Anyway, let's see who else is screwed up this week. Oh, this is terrible. She's one of my favorite actresses. Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
She was arrested in California.
Yeah,
but she's not. Has she ever been arrested before?
Yeah, I don't know. She's been arrested because she was driving while under the influence of prescription drugs.
Well, I do that.
And her reasoning is, or I don't know if it's her reasoning, but apparently she's had problems before with two things.
What?
Anxiety and depression.
Well,
now I want to know
everybody.
What? Well, I'm depressed because I'm just a poor guy.
Right.
You're depressed because you're so ugly. But she's depressed. She's got all this money and fame.
And good looks.
And Hollywood.
Man.
And beautiful. What is she depressed about?
I don't know.
Does she want more? What depresses all
these people?
Maybe
she can't find an
They're
honest guy.
Lucky. Huh?
She can't find a good, clean-cut, honest guy.
She doesn't want a clean-cut, honest guy. Why should she want a clean-cut? She's from Hollywood.
All right.
But the point of the matter is, I see it. And naturally, as I see it, I'm looking through trifocals, so I can see three different things. But the main thing that you have to remember is that all of these people seem to be on drugs and alcohol. They all claim they're depressed. They all have anxiety. And here, the average American, and I consider myself very average, and you and I are both average, regular schnooks.
I think you're more portly.
Well, I'm a little portly, but, you know, I mean, I've gained a little. I'm trying to take it off.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that's all right. You know, I'll, you know, you've hurt my feelings, but what can I tell you?
I'm sorry.
And I've tried so hard to become svelte.
I know.
And,
I'm sorry.
So,
what, you shouldn't do that to your partner.
No,
I'm
listen,
sorry.
Listen, I'm a svelte guy.
You are.
And I can take it.
You can.
Anyway, she has a heck of a problem with the anxiety and the depression. They're all from Hollywood. They're anxiety and depression.
Well.
I don't believe it. I'd like to become a millionaire, a billionaire, so I could become anxiety and depressed.
Yeah,
okay?
I know it.
That's it.
That's it. Well, that's listen, it. That's all that we have this week for Arrogance of the Rich and Famous. So if you're arrogant but not famous, you still have hope. Anyway, you're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them right here on TalkZone Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.